Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Are you a business owner or executive who needs more results from your marketing team? Do you struggle to measure the results of your marketing spend? Or do you need to spend less time running marketing personally? A Metrics Marketer Fractional CMO can help. A Fractional CMO delivers measurable results and value by combining real-world experience with a proven marketing framework and process, all at a fraction of the price of a full-time marketing leader. We manage and enhance your existing marketing team while creating programs designed to drive awareness, revenue, and growth for your company. Let us create, manage, and deploy a marketing strategy to help you reach your goals faster. Visit yourfcmo.com. That's yourfcmo.com to request a free, no obligation consultation. Mention 3YPC for a special discount of 10% off our services. Grow your business faster with a fractional CMO.
Chris and the guys at Greenview Construction LLC are a firm offering professional services in design and, of course, construction. And they are proud to announce that they've completed design and 3D renderings for two spec home models located in the Jupiter and Palm Beach Gardens area, sitting on over 1 acre lots. Now, they've got four lots available for these model homes. The first is a British West Indies model style, totaling just over 4,500 square foot, air-conditioned space, five bedrooms, five bathrooms, and they boast 16-foot ceilings in some areas. The second, more traditional style home, 3,100 square foot, air-conditioned space, four bedrooms and four baths. So they boast 14-foot ceilings in some areas. Both models will have a free-flowing layouts that connect the kitchen, the family room, living room, library, a den, and outdoor lanai. And both models will have an option to add a detached in-law suite if you really want the in-laws to move in, and a garage totaling an additional 1,000 square foot. You can visit Chris and the team online at www.greenviewconstruction.com. You can email Chris Tyson, that's C-Tyson, as in Mike Tyson, C-Tyson at greenviewconstruction.com. Or you can call 561-727-5013. They're also on Facebook, they're on Instagram, they're on Twitter. Just look for Greenview Construction. And if that wasn't enough, they have an appointment-only showroom at 715 Commerce Way West, Suite 14 in Jupiter, Florida.
Are you a South Florida property owner with an insurance claim? Are you dealing with water, mold, or fire damage? Looking for a reputable, fully licensed, insured, and certified contractor? Water Cleanup of Florida is here for you 24 hours a day. When a disaster strikes in your home or business, you need specialized, fast, and reliable services. Water Cleanup of Florida understands the impact and stress an unexpected disaster may cause. With over 62 years of combined experience, Michael, Robert, and Eric and their team is prepared to handle any size disaster. The guys are born and raised in South Florida, so changing the narrative on the way contractors conduct business in South Florida is extremely important to them. Their objective is to make cleanup and insurance claim process painless and hassle-free. Water Cleanup of Florida is also a licensed building contractor, so they provide the A to Z service, one-stop shopping that busy homeowners and business owners require. There's no need to bring in other contractors. They will handle it all for you. Call or text them anytime at 561-408-7835 for immediate assistance. The number again, 561-408-7835. Water Cleanup of Florida. This show is brought to you by Prize Picks. Prize Picks is a revolutionary new daily fantasy game whereby you pick 2, 3, or 4 players to go over or under their fantasy point projections, and if you're correct, you win. Pick 2 or more players from the same sport or league, or go cross leagues for your parlay. Use the promo code 5, that's F-I-V-E, 5, and receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. But first, sign up at prizepicks.com to start winning today.
Welcome to 3 Yards Per Carry, a podcast covering the Miami Dolphins and the NFL. Now, here's your hosts, Chris, Alf, and Simon.
All right, not Alfredo Arteaga, not Simon Clancy, and not CK. Mr. Chris Kaufman. The last time that we get to bring our voices heard on 3RPC for this month of June, I am Kai Chen Chisholm. Juan Cardona is here, and so is Royal A. Shepherd. And on top of that, if you have been in the Discord chat, you will know that we also have another special guest coming from the OnlyFans Discord. But before we get into that, I want to make sure to remind you that we are brought to you by Manscaped. You can use the code 5RSN, that's number 5RSN, for 20% off your entire order. And then also, we are sponsored by Better Edge. That's BETTOREDGE.com/5reasons. So also check out Better Edge. Guys, we are here. We have Ron, who is joining us from the Discord. Before we get into anything, before I ask how people are doing, Ron, I just want to ask you, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you hate Juan Cardona?
I don't hate Juan, man. I know he likes to troll, though. I finally figured it out. It took me way longer than it should have. He just likes to troll. I'm still not even sure how he really feels about Tua, because I can't see through all the troll.
That's actually fair, because I truthfully don't know how I feel about Tua until I wake up and see where everybody's kind of leaning. And then I usually lean the opposite way.
Until you feel the vibe for the day.
That's exactly.
When you then decide. Yeah. Ron, how does it, obviously, you know, you listen to 3RPC, of course there was a contest that got done through the OnlyFans Discord, and now you get to have your voice be heard with the rest of us idiots here with the final episode for the month. How have you been? How's life? How's everything going? How is Ron?
Ron's good. I'm definitely looking forward to the season. Finally gonna, you know, see what Tua looks like with some talent around him, and you know, at least 3/5 of an O-line, which is better than what he had. So I'm just looking forward to the season, man. When we got less than, at this point, probably 3 weeks till rookie camp starts. 4 weeks or so till the vets show up. So, I mean, we're almost there.
We're getting close. And before I go to anything, you know, don't mention 3/5 to Armando Salguero, because he'll get very upset.
Oh, yeah, that's
that.
Good. Maybe I spoke there.
Yeah, he won't like that. Royal, Mr. Packer fan yourself, how are you? How is everything? How have you been this past 7 days since we last spoke?
Like most of the listeners, I am relieved that this is our final episode of The Extra Yard.
Don't say that.
Not The Extra Yard, I'm sorry, 3YPC. This is a lot of pressure, bro. Like, I feel like I have become one of the primary voices of Dolphins fans over the course of this month. And it has been stressful, bro. It has been stressful. But the past week has been good. Personally, I'm doing fabulous. My brother's wedding is on Friday, so I fly to New Jersey on Wednesday to be a part of that. So shout out to my brother Brenton and his wife Shakia. That's going to be a lot of fun.
He's getting married in New Jersey?
Yeah, he lives in Maryland.
But he's getting married in New Jersey?
Yeah, his wife is from New Jersey.
Oh. Okay. I take back what I was going to say then. New Jersey is not a great place, but I'm sure that his wife is lovely.
I would agree 1,000%.
Perfect. All right. Dolphins talk. Because, you know, I don't really care to hear how Juan's been, because he's just been Juan, and I think Ron described it perfectly. He's just a troll. I mean, Juan, what is happening in the Dolphins world? What is the main things that are going on right now?
Well, a lot, man. We're actually going to see, you know, hopefully see if Tua starts to swing some of that, you know what, around. And I'm kind of excited and curious to see how that pod's going to go with Tyreek. Because if Tyreek Hill, a top two and not number two wide receiver in the NFL, can't get a personality out of Tua, then, you know, I don't know who will.
You don't think that he can bring a personality out of him?
It's not that it's like bringing it out of him, but like I just can't have it feel like it's like bringing it out of him. Like it has to be like a natural conversation, because like not that I saw the whole Nelk one with I think it was Nelk with Joe Burrow, but I saw the one with Chris Sims, and like, you know, like you want to feel like some type of charisma, some type of like personality from your QB, and I think we've seen it with like the money throw and things like that, but you know, just more of that.
How do you feel about, I guess, the perception? I know that talking about Tua and talking about Tua's personality, and it's so overdone, but I think it's just, it has to be talked about. What do you think of the perception that, I guess, maybe that he's not a fun guy or that he's not energetic? I know we've seen differently, but that he doesn't have a personality, I guess, and the hate he gets.
It's interesting because we used to hear the same stuff about Tannehill. Then Tannehill went to Tennessee and it's like he fit. The question is, if Tua didn't really fit with old Miami and Flores, will Tua fit this new Miami Dolphins culture that they're trying to build with McDaniel and that, and you got Tyreek and you got all these new players. It's almost like it's a new team, at least on offense. So will Tua fit a little bit more? I think we've seen a little bit more spark personality wise from Tua. I think this podcast, I agree, will tell us a lot, and I do hope it's organic. It doesn't seem like forced, but he is just kind of a quiet, reserved guy. He was at Bama too. He was just a little bit more quiet, a little bit more reserved. Just seems to be his personality. So I don't know that he'll ever be really out there, but I'd like to see a little bit more from him. I think it's important for the team. I think the quarterback should be the leader. And when he's not, it can be a little telling. So I'm hoping to see a bit more from him.
Do you think, like, obviously, like you said, you know, that you expect the quarterback to be the leader. Do you think that there is this expectation, or do you think that the expectation of Tua was broadened because of the hype around him as he was coming out of the draft? Like, do you think that that's why there is a majority of people that think negatively of him instead of trying to give him a chance?
When you say majority of people, I'd say we think a majority of people nationally outside of Dolphins land. Inside of Dolphins land, it's definitely still torn. I think there's a bit more that support him than don't. A lot of it is if Herbert, let's say Herbert never existed. Let's say Burrow, you know, we can put that to the side because it was a first overall pick. It's rumored that we tried to move up. Probably we did. We couldn't. Okay. You know, he's not really compared to Burrow as much. But let's say there was never a Herbert. I don't think that Tua gets as much heat. I think if there was just Tua and then no other real quarterback that got drafted, have gotten. I think that people are just like, oh, let's just give Tua a chance, blah, blah, blah. But I think it's the Herbert thing that really hurt him. He's just the fact that we passed on Herbert to take Tua just really made it tougher for him, especially because he just hasn't performed as well as Herbert yet. So I think that's really more of it than anything, honestly.
So here's the follow up for that with Herbert, because I've asked, you know, me, Royal, and Juan have talked about it a lot, and we'll get Royal's thoughts on this in a second as well. But I've asked a lot of people the question of, do you think that it's because Herbert has done so well, or do you think it's because of the hate and the comparison to Ryan Tannehill that a lot of people were giving Justin Herbert when he was coming out of Oregon?
I think it's just because Herbert's done so well, and it was just so quick. It's like instantly he got on the football field, and I'm like, guess a lot of teams missed something on him. Because, I mean, let's face it, the Chargers probably draft Tua if we take Herbert. It's not like they were falling over themselves to move up to the next spot. Now, they weren't falling over themselves to move to the next spot and beat us just in case we were going to take Herbert. So I just think that some of the NFL guys, including the Dolphins, obviously missed it, and has caught a lot of flack for that. He just has. Obviously, they've been in two completely different situations, too, for sure. Both with bad O-line play. I mean, I don't think we can dismiss that. They've both had bad O-line play, and Herbert's done better with that. And we know that Tua's done a lot of good things in the limited opportunities had, but under pressure hasn't been his greatest. But it's just the arm strength comparison. I mean, you can't really compare their arms. We know that Herbert has a big arm. Tua doesn't. It's just all of those things combined, man. It's a good thing that we've won more than we've lost, really, or it would be even worse, honestly. Been the only thing that's kind of saved him from a perception point of view.
Roy, I want to ask you this just because I think that you have the most, and I know we've discussed it multiple times, but I think you have the most unbiased out of the panel here of people who have seen Tua play. As a Green Bay Packers fan, as a transitioning Dolphins fan, once Aaron Rodgers is no more, not in terms of death, by the way, just saying, not with the, you know, the Green Bay Packers. What do you think of the perception of Tua? Do you think that he gets some rightful hate and some rightful criticism, or do you think a lot of it is unwarranted?
No, I think a lot of it is warranted, and a lot of it is foolishness. Like, to
to criticize his arm is fair. The arm strength criticism is fair. To say that he could never be a franchise quarterback is unfair because he has other tools that other quarterbacks have been successful with. Like I said, I don't really care much for the off the field kind of stuff. I am interested in this podcast with Tyreek Hill because, like I said last week, Tyreek Hill has been doing a lot of gassing up of Tua. You see him a lot at his house, scared of the dog or whatever. But I haven't actually seen those guys interact for a prolonged period. And so a podcast is a great opportunity to listen to them just talk, to see what that relationship is like. As far as like Tua's personality, as long as he's confident on the field, then what he's like off of it doesn't really make me much of a difference. But to your point, but yes, Tua is unfairly criticized, but I think some people often make themselves blind. Like, there's no middle ground with Tua. You have to be extreme on either side of the spectrum. You either hate him or you love him. And I think it's hard for either side to compromise because the vitriol from either side is so tough. Like, the haters hate very hard on Tua, and the stands, they love him. So it's hard to find people who are objective about the way he plays football. He's an accurate quarterback. He reads the field well. He gets the ball out quick. He lets his playmakers do the work. That can be successful in the league. And if Tua can become one of the higher-end accuracy quarterbacks in the league, then the Dolphins can very well be in good hands.
Juan, you're the biggest Tua hater, so I do want to throw on the hate side of that, because I feel like out of myself, you and Royal, I think I am that middle ground that Royal was talking about, because I think I can, you know, put on the troll hat and criticize Tua, and I also think that I do want him to be successful. Unlike, it seems, as Royal mentioned, there are either stans or haters, which is just very odd to me, regardless of anything. But you are on the hater side of things, and you are on the troll side of things. What is it, you know, for you, besides you probably going to say that he has a noodle arm and then your obsession with Justin Herbert, what is it for you, Juan, that just kind of deters you from Tua, if you're still, I guess, as deterred from Tua as you have been previously?
To me, it's not that I'm deterred from Tua. Like, the thing is like, I've seen Jimmy Garoppolo be Aaron Rodgers in an NFC Championship game. So it's not, like, I don't like necessarily like to do, like, direct comparisons, like, especially because of Herbert and how that's ending up, like, how it's going to end up being realistically how we're looking at it. I'm kind of over-comparing them, those two directly. I'm more so just a Herbert fan. Burrow's a dog. And to me, really, like, the comparisons that I kind of just point to and look at, is really just the other two Alabama quarterbacks, and that's Mac and Jalen Hurts. Like, I need him to, at this point, like, be better than them. Be better than just, like, average to above average play. Just because, like, the return on investment is kind of what people don't like to talk about when it comes to Tua. They don't like to talk about the year plus that we quote-unquote tanked for him. They don't like to talk about the fifth overall pick that, as we've seen Chris Greer go ahead and do with a third overall pick, turn it into Waddle, Tyreek, and still picks. So people just don't like to, you know, brace themselves or really hear the facts of that. Where we have been held back the past 2 years with Flores from actually competing and having a realistic chance in the playoffs. People might not like to say people don't want to believe it for whatever reason because of the receivers or the running backs, but at the end of the day, we were one game from making the playoffs, and once you're in the dance, anything can happen. And truth be told, Tua is a gamer. Tua is the type of guy that steps up versus specific matchups. Like, he's 2-0 versus Mac. He's 1-0 versus Kyler. He's 1-0 versus Herbert. So to me, like, Tua is just a polarizing figure and one that I've never personally had on a team that I've covered or watch or enjoy. You know, I don't like to say it's like the Tebow effect, but it almost feels like that, where it's like you're either all for him or you're all against him. I've kind of just taken it and ran with it that, sure, I guess I'll be all against it. But there are flashes. There are things that he does well, situationally, two-minute drives, four-minute drives. Red zone, you just want to see that more consistent. You want to see that really be something that it could be built on or built forward from as the as like a base. But you do wonder, you are curious why last year, those last 4 weeks minus the Patriots seemed like a downhill trend to where Tennessee was like the bottoming out of everything, right? You do wonder why in back-to-back years, oddly enough, week 17 just happens to be his worst games, like, period. And then you do kind of wonder if this is the guy where, you know, last year they ran the RPO like 42% of the time, I think it is, and the second closest team was like 28% of the time. So they did adhere to his strengths. They did build an offense, quote-unquote, for him. And while it may not have been ran like well or even decently or even good, they still tried to play to his strengths. So we've already gone down this route, which is like if you're on OnlyFans, you saw that article that that Simon posted this morning, and that was great to me because that was a great breakdown of like how much are you really gonna try to put on his plate as far as like what McDaniel does well. Versus how much he does or what he does well and how much McDaniel has to adhere to him. So that's kind of like the give and take I'm going to really be looking for in camp.
Interesting. I want to deter from Tua talk so badly. Unless there's any final comments that anybody would like to make about Tua himself or anything like that, just because I feel like it's overdrawn.
Step in real quick, if you don't mind.
Of course.
Running RPO and whatever offense you're doing, to me, isn't necessarily building an offense around Tua. It is trying to take advantage of his strengths, but they didn't build an offense around Tua. they just didn't. They built an offense around their defense. Let's face it. That's what Flores wanted to do. That's the whole reason why he decided 2 years ago to sit Fitzpatrick and start Tua. He wanted to build an offense around his defense. That's what it was all about. He was all about the defense. So, I mean, in Bama, Tua threw the ball in traffic in tight little windows to really fast receivers sprinting full speed in the middle of the field, crossing in the middle of the field. That is why he would throw so many 10, 12-yard passes that went for 60-yard touchdowns. Now, it's not going to happen as much in the NFL, obviously, because you had NFL speed going against a lot of college defensive backs. But he's going to have more of that now, what he had in Bama. It's going to feel a lot similar and look a lot more similar. I bet it looks a lot more similar to him. I don't know that he's mentioned that or not. Maybe he has or not, but I would imagine it looks more similar. This is an offense that takes advantage of his strengths. You can put in RPO in any offense, really. RPO is just, it's more of a concept. It's not really an offense. So that was the only thing I just wanted to kind of step in and my opinion on that. On that, though, we can stop talking about Tua if y'all want.
I know Juan wants to interject, but you brought up something that it does also mention Tua, but Juan, if you have anything.
Yeah, Brady 2023.
Okay. So you did bring up something there, and I wanted to pass this off to you, Royal, and anyone once Royal is done could come in. Flores, into this podcast that's supposed to release on the 30th, by the time that other people are listening to this podcast should be out, and then I'm sure that the Tyreek podcast will be out as well. Do you think that Tyreek Royal asks Tua about his relationship with Flores, and do you think Tua expands on that, or do you think he still continues to play coy and doesn't really comment anything past you know, what he has said thus far?
I think Tyreek should ask Tua about his relationship with Flores. I think if he does, Tua's going to play coy. He's not going to slander Flores or anything like that. But I even though I think Tyreek should ask him, I don't think he will. It's a lot like, well, he might though. I don't know. I'm kind of convincing myself the other way because the way Tyreek's been going, he has been the scorned ex-girlfriend. So he has been going back to that KC stuff. You brought it up last week, but he has been going back to that KC stuff. So it feels like if he's going with that same kind of flow, then he would ask, no pun intended, but if he's going with that same kind of flow, then he would ask about Flores. And, I mean, I'm not expecting Tua to say anything outlandish or anything like that, so I don't expect any new information to come out if he does ask. But yeah, it'll be interesting to hear how that man perceived the relationship with Flores and versus his new relationship with McDaniel.
Juan, I know you wanted to get in there.
I actually am very curious because I do think Tyreek's going to ask because he has been playing that card a lot. And two, I think it was like last week or 2 weeks ago where I mentioned that I had been personally feeling like either McDaniel had a conversation with Tua or they just, you know, talked about it in general. Where like I felt like for a while Tua was overly defending like previous staff and previous people that, you know, looking back now, we can, some people say sabotage, whatever it may be. And lately he had been a lot more loose with the media and like, you know, Twitter warrior or keyboard warriors, whatever he called me.
You specifically.
So I personally think that, no, yeah, he was talking to me. I'm ready for, I'll tell you guys offline, but I'm ready for like with all this ends and like if he fails or doesn't, like I got a whole thing I'm going to do. But I personally think that if he does get asked and Tyreek is going to be the scornful ex to ask, I do think there's going to be some elaboration there. And I'm very interested to see how much we're going to actually see of Tua being like, you know, himself there.
Ron, if you have anything to say there.
Obviously, Tyreek is jumping in on this, what they call new media. Draymond Green doing a podcast. And he's looking to get the views, right? Get the clicks. And that's what it's all about. So he's going to try and bring stuff out of Tua that's going to bring those views, those clicks. He's absolutely going to. Now, whether he goes the Flores route or goes the national media perception route, going after the people in national media that have gone after Tua this entire time, I'm not sure. I'm kind of hoping that he brings a bit more of the Flores out, because I know Flores was on I Am Athlete. It was clear, like, Flores was just kind of underhanded to me, kind of dogging Tua, and the whole, I wish him all the best. I wish him all the best is code for, I think he's trash. Let's just be honest. I'm just hoping that we get a little bit more response back from Tua when it comes to Flores, because part of the reason it didn't go well for Tua the first 2 years, and he's going through all this, is because of Flores. And I think he needs to speak up and say something. And you know Tyreek wants those views, wants those clicks, wants that notoriety, being part of the new media. I'm hoping and imagining we're going to hear something about Flores. Or for me, that's not even organic. I mean, that's the elephant in the room. You're going to put the man on the podcast, but then not ask him, bring it out of him? Yeah, that'd be kind of weak. So I'm hoping they do, and I think they will.
You mentioned I Am Athlete. When Flo was on I Am Athlete also, and I respect Omar Kelly, as much as I might think that some of his takes are very awful, he turned from being a, as Tua said, keyboard warrior into being a very different person once you're face-to-face with the people that you criticize. Something that, you know, Juan, Alfredo Arteaga has mentioned to us about 19, how we would be very different if me, you, and 19 were all looking at each other in the same room. Although you do also believe you could beat up an orangutan, so that is a completely different
situation. I was going to say, if I can beat up an orangutan and a bobcat, like...
Can't beat up a bobcat. I want to ask just because, and obviously there's not a ton to talk about. I think we tried to just pull it through last week as much as possible, and we've gone already 30 minutes talking about Tua. But I do want to ask, just because it's been trending, and it's been a huge topic, and it looks like this is going to be something that is going to be dealt with and done with this week, or it could be maybe a couple more weeks, but it looks like it might be done with this week. And it is a situation on, and it does involve Tua, us almost trading for a different quarterback last November, something that seemed to be done per all reports. It seemed like this was something that would have been done had cases gotten settled with Deshaun Watson. Now, of course, it looks like he's going to have, or we're going to have an answer as well as him sometime soon. You know, Royal, being a Packers fan and kind of seeing this, obviously in just football, and we're not trying to diminish anything here, but obviously just football, as we, the three of us, myself, you and Juan, and Michael at the time, were going through it. Obviously, when you look on just the football field, it was a different aspect than off. Now with everything that we've seen, now with everything we heard, plus what we already knew, how do you think Dolphins fans should feel if they still have mixed feelings, which I highly doubt, but how do you think Dolphins fans should feel knowing that they don't have to deal with this drama right now?
They should feel relieved. You don't want to be in the situation that the Browns are in right now. You have a disgruntled quarterback in your locker room, a quarterback that's probably not going to play for a very long time, and a handful of other guys that you're probably going to have to trot out here for the majority of your season, or your entire season. So Dolphins fans should count themselves lucky that it didn't go through, because you'd be in that exact same situation right now. You have all these new toys, and at least you have some consistency at the position. At this point, he's kind of gotten a year under his belt. Now it's not the circus around him. The circus is focused on football and not things outside of that. So Dolphins fans should be counting themselves lucky. You guys said your prayers. Congratulations.
Do you think that it goes, and obviously, again, we want to be very careful with things we say, and we want to be respectful to all parties involved. This isn't trying to, you know, go ahead and be very, I guess, lawyerish about things and analyzing every, you know, single situation. But do you think that more will come out through the, you know, if we do hear what the impartial judge between the NFLPA and the NFL comes out and says, if she starts talking about other things, like maybe bringing up the alleged incident of our owner, Stephen Ross, allegedly asking for the cases to be settled before approving a trade? Do you think that stuff like that will come up and be confirmed once this, you know, ruling comes out? Or do you think we're just going to, you know, only get that ruling?
No, I think everything's going to come out through the course of these proceedings. I think anything that's been done on any part by the NFL or NFL owners is going to be involved in whatever the proceedings will be. So, I mean, that may be some cause for worry, but I mean, I don't think anything's going to come of it in terms of penalties to Ross or anything like that. But I do believe that there will be some new information unearthed about what the process was like of him being courted while also under investigation.
Ron, if you want to jump in, you can.
I think another thing I'll bring out too is the recent information about the lawsuits against Houston and what they knew and didn't know and what kind of behavior they accepted or maybe swept under the rug. Kind of then starts to go in a bit into the stuff we're seeing with Washington. So I think that's going to be interesting and telling. We might get more information out of that than just what's happening with Watson currently in his situation and how big the suspension will be, etc.
Do you think, and I know Juan that you want to jump in on this as well, but I'll ask you really quick, Ron, do you think that, and obviously this is all speculation here, but do you think that maybe with the recent, you know, articles and news coming out about the Washington football team, the Washington Commanders, whatever you want to call them, with the stuff that's been happening with now their owner Dan Snyder getting subpoenaed, do you think that the NFL is going to push extremely hard to get that year that they've reportedly wanted, or to get the indefinite suspension that they want, in order to also kind of protect the shield, I'll say, so that's the story of the day and not something else?
Absolutely. I mean, you're going to have to almost make Watson the example of everybody, because you've got the Snyder thing happening. You've got this Watson thing happening. Now pressure's just now starting to be applied on Houston and what they know. And then we still got coming the stuff with Flores and the Dolphins. And was he paid? You know, was he offered payment to lose games, etc.? I mean, that goes to integrity of the game. So it's all coming. So that they're going to try and get the public and Congress off of their back, because you got this stuff going 1, 2, 3. That just doesn't look good for the NFL. And they had enough issues a few years ago, as we know, with the Colin Kaepernick stuff. And that was handled so poorly by the NFL. And I think so. I think Watson is going to be the one that really takes the hit for all this, and deservedly so anyway. So that works out. But I'm definitely glad, to answer your original question to Royal, that the Dolphins swing and miss so many times. So many times they swing for the fences and they completely miss. And finally we missed and it worked out. So thank goodness on that.
Juan, I know you're going to jump in, and I do know that during a period of time, obviously you were one that was for DW, and I think that opinion definitely changed as days went by and as weeks went by. How do you feel, especially considering I think you were one that was a little more okay at the time with the trade in November than most of us were?
Yeah, no, I think I'm gonna definitely use one of our curse words, and we definitely dodge the clusterfuck, because that, and obviously I'm saying this as somebody who made a 3-part docuseries on what DW would have been like on the field, right? But I think we just dodged it in such a way where we literally would have been the Browns. Like, we would have had a quarterback who's not showing up, who's not going to play with us. And I'm talking about, you know, Baker and Tua. We would have had half the team probably on board, half the team not on board. We would have been still fighting, you know, national media, still talking about this daily, still being, you know, disputed and talked about, and just overly, you know, analyzed and everything that comes with it. So we definitely dodged a complete just, you know, clusterfuck of just god-awful, just everything, right? And to me, it's not more so that I would rather have Tua than the situation over there. To me, it's like, I just like the pivot that we kind of went by, right? Like, let's just call a spade. Like, we were gonna do that trade. Like, if DW had 2 more settlements, you know, done and signed with NDAs, like, he was going to be a Dolphin come November. And for that to not happen, and, you know, for us to really just go ahead and say, all right, well, it's gonna be Tua's team, but we're also gonna have an insurance policy in place. That to me was just smart money. That to me was just, you know, good maneuvering by the Dolphins to try to, like, overcome that situation, right? Because he still kind of did look bad in the long run. And then ultimately, to me, what we really just avoided was, it's just looking like the perfect storm for DW just to get, like some unprecedented, like, precedent, like suspension, where it's just never happened before. Because if you're asking me to bet on who's going to get a longer suspension or worse punishment between Dan Snyder and DW, it's 100% going to be DW. And it's just because his face and his name are what gives value to the team, both on and off the field. So yeah, you can hide an owner away in a box, and no one really has to know he's the owner. He just has to sign checks. But DW, you're going to see him playing on the field. You're going to see him rocking the NFL. You're going to see him rocking the C for the captain. And that's a bad light right now. So I do think it's going to be something along the lines of, and mind you, I initially still thought, even maybe like 2-3 weeks ago, that it was just going to be 10, 12 games and then reduced to maybe 8 after an appeal. But this is looking like it's going to really go for an indefinite suspension, which is just all it means is just 1 year, and then after a year you can apply for re put into the league. Yeah, that's, I don't know why I forgot that word, reinstated into the league. And you know, it's really going to be potentially 2 years, because it could be just as easily say, hey, you still haven't gotten this stuff cleared out. No, you're not reinstated. So yeah, we dodged the bullet there.
You know, I hate to say this. Yeah, I hate to say this, but Michael Christian was right, bro. It burns me up on the inside to say that.
With what specifically, right, though?
All parts of this situation. Like, Michael was right from the beginning. So it's just kind of like, shout out to Michael Christian.
Shout out to Michael Christian.
Just know that it burns me up to say that, but you were absolutely 100% right about this situation.
I was going to ask you, Royal, really quickly, and then Ron, if you want to touch in after that as well, and then we'll kind of round this out. Do you think, Royal, that we were ever going to 24 civil cases in an actual courtroom? That was never going to happen.
No. I think, honestly, that there was always a high probability that most of these would be settled. But I mean, the thought, just the mere thought of going into 24 civil cases is terrifying. Like, it would have really painted a picture of what type of person, that man is. But yeah, I'm glad we didn't have to see that. But yeah, I absolutely knew that most of these cases would be settled.
Ron, you could jump in there if you want as well.
Just one final thought on it, and it's something I believe 100%. I know a lot of people have disagreed with me. If Flo isn't fired, Watson's a Dolphin, and not in November, because, you know, that didn't happen, but this offseason. Instead of the, you know, Atlanta, Cleveland, maybe Carolina, Watson just sticks with the I only want to play for Miami, and they make that trade happen. And we are then Cleveland right now. We are facing this right now. And I don't believe they got rid of Flo because they thought that was coming. No, it's just another bullet dodged in that case, but it absolutely would have happened.
Well, let's be real, and I'll round us out here as well, and just give you my opinion. When it comes to the Flo situation, I think the three of us, myself, Royal, and Juan, very firmly believe that Flores was fired for being an asshole. That's just how I feel. I think me, Juan, and Royal are still on the same page there as we were when he was fired after the end of the season. But with Deshaun, I think that obviously, and I know that a majority of people now finally agree with my stance on it, with, you know, Michael Christian's stance on it, as we, you know, Michael was definitely there at jump as soon as the things came out. I, you know, followed there shortly after him as well. I think that it would have been a horrible look on the Miami Dolphins. It would have been a horrible look on everything for us and the city of Miami if that happened. I still think that the trade to Cleveland and him being the first ever, like, fully, you know, that big of a contract guaranteed. Obviously, Kirk Cousins being the first fully guaranteed contract for quarterbacks and everything like that. But for Deshaun to be that level, I think it is a shame on the NFL. And I think I agree with all three of you where, one, it wasn't going to go to civil cases in court. That just was never going to happen. And I think as well that at the end of the day, it's going to be protect the shield. Obviously, they did it in the first place with the football team when they decided to say that over all those emails, the only thing they got from it were a few emails that John Gruden was a racist. I definitely think that if they're going to protect the shield, if they have to choose between a scapegoat of a billionaire and a scapegoat of a player who has this horrible, horrible thing hanging over him and the people who are involved, I will continue to say allegedly because I do not want to be a person that could potentially get sued, although I think we all have our own feelings. With this situation, obviously, it's horrible, and I think they will probably choose to scapegoat, as horrible as it sounds to even use scapegoat, Deshaun, rather than maybe Dan Snyder. And I also think that if we're going to stop using the government tax dollars for this horrible stuff that they're doing in the hearing for this as well. But Ron, any final words on anything that we discussed as we round out this podcast and get ready to head out?
Haven't probably never been as excited for a year, which scares me. Big excitement can mean big disappointment, but I've never been as excited as a Dolphins fan as I am for this season since, and I'm old, so we talked about me being a boomer because it took me 10 minutes to figure out how to the Discord screen to full screen, but
that's okay.
I'm old. I remember the Marino days. I remember being excited as a kid, and it's been since then. I have been this excited about this team. I think we have the right offense and the right tools for what Tua does well. I already believe in the defense. I know we have questions on who was actually calling the defensive plays. I guess we'll learn, but the defense, the players, the scheme are still in place. I have improved the line. Yes, it's not perfect. We got a question or two. And we got receivers for days. We got a pretty good pass catching tight end. We got some decent inline guys. Running backs, not the best in the league, but it's definitely improved. And they got three guys that all know how to run in the zone scheme. I think that's something that's been overlooked, that Sony Michel run the zone scheme in, for the Rams. And obviously Mostert did, and Edmund did as well in Arizona. So I think that was a big reason why we have those guys there. I just think it if it doesn't work this time, I don't know when it's going to work. And if Tua can't be successful this time, I just don't know when he is going to be. So, but I'm pretty excited. I think he will be.
I hope so, because if not, you know, we can go and trade for Lamar Jackson. Juan, Royal, any final words as we round out and as we wave and kiss goodbye to all the 3YPC listeners for the month of June?
Sure. So thank you guys for tolerating us for a month. We really appreciate that. This has been stressful, like I said off camera. This is a lot of people that listen to this podcast, and to listen to us three blabber on about the Dolphins has been quite nerve-wracking for me individually. I will say about the Dolphins, though, No, despite all the crap that I talk about them, I am cautiously optimistic about what they can accomplish this season. I've seen the flashes from Tua, like Juan alluded to earlier, and I'm looking for the for that consistency. Like, if he can develop that, then the Dolphins could be something to be reckoned with. I am more nervous about Mike McDaniel than most of Dolphins fans, and that's because he's a zero-win head coach, he's tasked with leading a team that has playoff aspirations. So that's going to be tough, and I want to see what the defense looks like under him, because Flores had them boys biting. And, I mean, for all the things that he was a hell of a defensive coach, and I want to see if Mike McDaniels can continue to have the defense play like that while improving the offense. So that's enough ranting for me. You guys can catch me on the extra yard with the rest of these fools. Yeah, thanks.
On.
Yeah, that's I guess it just hit me. This is the last time we're going to be on here for now. I genuinely enjoyed being the troll that I am. I hope everybody either enjoyed it or they didn't. I guess I don't really care. I did, you know, want to point out that that as far as the Dolphins, I think there is a sense of expectations where I personally don't feel like that. So it's kind of weird going into the season where I see so many people maybe wound up and excited, and I'm more so, I think, more so level-headed than most are. I could see, you know, 11-7 and, you know, in the playoffs as a force, and I can for sure see, you know, or, you're sorry, 10-7, not 11-7. And then I could also see, you know, a 7-win season. So I just think ultimately, to me, it's letting the pieces fall how they may. And then kind of analyzing after that. I do want to shout out CK, Simon, and Alf. They make this seem and feel a lot easier than it actually is. I could sit here and just go on YouTube and scream at Kai and scream at Royo, and that's pretty simple. This has like a rhythm and a cadence that it's kind of, you know, it's just different. So I do appreciate them giving us a chance, and for all appearances right now, we have not burned everything to the ground, Kai. So I give us a thumbs up, bro.
Bullshit, bro. They have lost viewers by the week since we've been on here.
I think just on my side, I don't agree with Juan or Royal. I don't think this has been stressful at all. You know, I am a professional, did run my own radio show for like almost 6 months. So, you know, I this is no stress for me at all. It's just a piece of cake. All joking aside, actually, though, I do thank Alf, CK, and Simon for the trust they put in us. Obviously, this is their show, this is their baby, and everything like that. So I do appreciate all of you guys listening. Even if you disagree with us, even if you agree with us, even if you're a one or zero, it doesn't matter anyway down the line. I think just one, supporting guys like Alf, guys like CK, and guys like Simon in the first place is very, very awesome. And then coming on and supporting us as well is very good, and I appreciate that. You can find the Extra Yard every Wednesday or Thursday. I don't think we've decided a day yet, and we're still trying to figure out some other stuff with 5R. So you'll be able to figure that out with our socials. Obviously, you can find those on Twitter if you are on there, or you can find us through the Discord. I know everybody already knows who Juan is, and he's just living in infamy. But you can find us. We'll be on. I don't think we'll be on in the month of July, but we'll be back in August. You can see myself, Royal, and Juan as we go and be as crazy as possible, and definitely not as serious or as calm as we have been for a few episodes. There were two episodes that went off the rail, one of them in which we just solely talked about cut, trade, or start. But thank you guys so much for myself, for Royal, for Juan, for Ron, who's able to come on. Thank you guys so much, and we will see you guys next time. That's the podcast.
Thanks for listening to 3 Yards Per Carry. You can subscribe via iTunes, on Podbean, or your usual podcast provider.